right, let's turn this morning and back to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. Say, what in the world's in 2 Chronicles for Sunday morning? Well, we'll see. We'll see. All right, 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. And we'll start reading in verse 1. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them others besides the Amorites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazaron Tamar, which is in Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, for the freedom we have. Thank you for a perfect book to preach out of. And Lord, these people came to hear from you. And I pray that you'd intercede on their behalf, Lord, and speak to their hearts. And there's people here having some victories, some having some real trials, and all sorts of different things. Lord, you know each individual heart. You know what they need. And Lord, I just pray that you'd speak to us this morning. Thank you for loving us enough that you care for us to speak to us and admonish us and encourage us, rebuke us. Whatever it might be, Lord, I pray that your sheep would get fed this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so here we have Jehoshaphat. Things are going fairly well in his kingdom. And all of a sudden, he gets some bad news. The news is that there's a great multitude that are basically coming to war against him. They have no idea. They have no, they don't want a peace treaty. They want to take him over. They want to kill every man, woman, and child, take over Jehoshaphat's kingdom. And that's like us in a Christian life. We go through the Christian life, and we have some real enemies that are out there. We have some enemies that are always there. And just like Jehoshaphat looked out and he saw a great multitude camped out there, you know, we have our own enemies in our own lives as Christians. And people always say the world of flesh and the devil, but I think it's more the opposite way. I think the flesh is the primary thing. Our own flesh is the most detrimental to our Christian walk. That's our biggest enemy. And if we could get a handle on our flesh, the world wouldn't have an effect on us. And the Bible says, you know, live after the Spirit, not after the flesh. It is impossible those who live in the flesh cannot please God. If we could get a handle on our own flesh, the world wouldn't have an effect on us. If you're truly living after the Spirit, the world could do anything it wants to do, and it'd be irrelevant to you because you got your armor on. You're living after the Spirit. But we have that flesh, and we have the world. The world is against, and always has been. It's nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun. The Bible says it's this present evil world. You know, you can moan and groan and complain about how wicked the world is getting. Why does that surprise you? They're anti-God. They're anti-Christ. They always were that way. They've been killing Christians since 33 A.D., and it hasn't stopped. If they can't kill you physically, they want to kill you spiritually. It's no surprise that obviously this is a spiritual kingdom we're living in now. So the weapons of their warfare are not physical either. In most cases, not in this country, they're spiritual. And so the devil is after us, and this world is after us spiritually. And you got to remember that. Love not the things of the world, right? And also the devil. The devil is our enemy. And most of the time the devil doesn't have anything to do with us because we get pinned down with our own flesh. It's enough to weigh us down. The devil can accomplish enough just by us living after our flesh instead of the Spirit. But the thing we have to keep in mind is the devil hates us. He hates us. That little precious baby you're holding, the little five-year-old that you have is so cute as you tuck him in at night. The devil wants to take that kid to the lake of fire and hear him scream forever, forever. And he's after you, mom and dad, and your family to accomplish that goal. If he can't accomplish that goal, he wants to mess you up. He wants to mess up that kid so that he will do absolutely nothing for the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil hates us. There's nothing. There's nothing more can be said. He hates us. He's a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. What am I getting at? All those things, the flesh, the devil, and the world, they motivate out of fear. Jehoshaphat here is faced with fear. Well, who wouldn't be fearful? You got a multitude. Fear is a natural a natural thing. It's a matter of self-preservation. If we didn't have the instinct of self-preservation that God put in us, we'd all jump off a cliff to see what it felt like when we hit. You know, but God put some common sense in us and say, don't do that. Don't climb up that high in the ladder. Let somebody else do it. No. Call the professionals. And I don't mean Abel or Daniel either. But there's a self-preservation. Fear is a natural thing. But how we handle that fear in our lives is the difference. How we handle that fear in our lives. And all these entities, the flesh, the world, and the devil wants to motivate us by fear. All you have to do is read the headlines. And it's fear, 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 fear. That's all it is. And how did Hitler motivate his people? Fear. Every dictator ever lived motivated out of fear. How does the Lord Jesus Christ motivate you? This is out of love. He loved us, right? He loved us first. We ought to love him. But the world, all their entities are against us. They motivate out of fear. And we go through trials in our life. Turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter, or over to, I should say. It's to the right. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And I'm preaching to myself this morning as well. I look at many, many, many different things that come up in my life. And I don't handle them so well most of the time, many times. The Lord's still trying to teach me, and thankful he's patient. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. Paul is talking here. He says, "For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus." Here's Paul, and he's fearful of some things. He says, there's fears all around us. There's fightings, right? And but yet, a brother comes and helps him out. He says, we're comforted by Titus. And just an example there of how we're to comfort and help one another. But Jehoshaphat feared, and he had a good reason to fear, as I mentioned. He had a multitude that came against him. And maybe it's some small little thing that comes up in your life, a little thing that'll pass in a day or two. Maybe it's some big, dramatic, tragic thing that has happened. Whatever it is, this part of life, there's always going to be things to be fearful of. And the initial reaction is, of course, is fear. The question is, what will you do with it? What forces will you let motivate you to make your decisions? And again, you look at the headlines, they motivate by fear. But it's up to us to choose who we'll be led by. Are you going to be led by the fear of man? Are you led by the fear of God? Are you going to be led by man and what he wants? Or what God wants you to do? I wonder how many, we get to the judgment seat of Christ, and I wonder how it's all going to play out. All of a sudden we have no more pain, everything's gone, our body's in this euphoric state. We see our Savior, we hit our face in the ground, and just so thankful to be there. And he says, so, I asked you to do that down there, remember? Yes, Lord. And why was it you never took the next step for me? Why was it that you could never open your mouth for me? God, I was fearful. Oh, there's other things that play into it. Laziness, lack of love for the Savior, lack of vision. But what about fear? Fear plays in a lot. Why won't you and I do the things we ought to do? Many times, it's fear. That's going to play a real big part, isn't it, up there? Is it really going to go a long ways with our Savior? It's not. It's not. But people someday will face that. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Being busy, I don't think that'll fly down there. The Lord had just as many hours in a week as we, when he was on this earth as we do, and yet look what he accomplished. Being busy won't buy much at the judgment seat of Christ, won't buy anything. So we're presented with a trial. How are you going to handle it? How are you going to handle it? Jehoshaphat here was feared. And you know what? People were looking. It doesn't matter if you've been in church a month or over 20 years. You're going through something or you're just living your life. People are watching. They don't watch like with, you know, just to be jerks about. They just observe things. And they look at things. It doesn't matter how long you've been in church. People are looking to see how you're going to go through things. How you as a teen will live out your teen years as a young adult, as an older person, whatever it might be. How are you going to do it? And I wonder how many people are watching the king here. Like they couldn't see the people. They couldn't see the armies gathered around. And they're talking. He says, well, I wonder if the king's going to hire another army. Because if we hire another army, they can fight our battles for us and everything will be fine. And maybe somebody says, no, I don't know about you, but I hope the king searches out God. I hope he searches out God. And that's what he did. Jehoshaphat there, verse 3, he set himself to seek the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 16:11, it says, seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face continually. Jehoshaphat set himself to seek the Lord. He took it upon himself, not on somebody else, but he took it upon himself to seek the Lord. And what will you do when the trial comes? What will you do in a daily life? You know, some event comes up, and this is a deciding factor. What will you do? What did Jehoshaphat do? This whole story would read different if it had not been this. He sought himself to seek the Lord. Will you stay there and wallow in self-pity and discouragement? Will you grow bitter and resentful? Will you draw away from God? Will you back away from Him and say, well, God, I've been serving You. I've been trying, God. I've been trying. I made all these changes in my life. And now this comes up. Why? Can't I just get a break? Can't You just let me alone and just help me? No. And so a lot of people, a lot of times, and we in our lives, we can get bitter. And we get resentful. And we just put up, we'll just take a step back and think that everything's going to be okay. It's not. It's not. Will you back away from God? Or will you draw closer to Him? What will you do? What did Jehoshaphat do? Well, Jehoshaphat did something. He proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. He knew he had to seek the Lord. And that's what we ought to do. We need to always seek Him. And what God took, think about it. Think about those of you parents have, well, I guess if you didn't have children, you wouldn't be parents. Let's start over again. Those of you who are parents, think of your children. They're going through something in their life, and you have a pretty good communication with them, but also you realize they're real quiet and sullen and discouraged, and they just lock themselves in a room, and they're there, and they come out to eat, and they go back in, and you'd be like, why doesn't he come for us to help? What's happening? What are you going through? Can I help you? Can I pray for you? What's going on? See, you think God the Father is any different? Wouldn't you feel rejected as a parent if your kid's going through something and they can't come to you or they don't open up to you a little bit and say, Mom, Dad, I'm having a hard time with this. I need some help. I need some prayer. Wouldn't you feel rejected? Wouldn't you feel bad as a parent? How do you think God feels? We go through something, we don't cry out to Him. We don't seek His face. People, we need to do that. That's what He wants. The Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross not only to save us from our sins, but we might have life and have it more abundantly. And yet so many times we go through things in our life, or that doesn't have to be something big and tragic, just be just a lull, just a little valley. Nothing huge, just kind of a long valley where nothing's going on in our lives. We need to seek God. Matthew 11:29 says, take My yoke upon you and learn of Me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For My yoke is easy, and My burden is light. You know what happens? A lot of times we're going through something, or in a valley in our Christian walk, is we have the wrong yoke on. We don't have the yoke of Christ on. We got the yoke of the world, our own flesh. And that yoke is just this nasty piece of splintered up oak wood, and it's leaving scars in our back. Doesn't the world leave you scarred? And you got these marks in your back. It hurts. Can't stand it. But I'm just going to sit here. I'm going to go through this. And I'll get it figured out. And the Lord Jesus Christ is up there. He says, My yoke is easy. And My burden is light. And you're down there. Not just have that nasty old yoke on your shoulder. It's digging in. It hurts to have it. He's got this nice yoke. It's padded. Is it padded? I don't know. It says it's nice. It says it's easy. I view it as nice leather padded yoke. It's easy. And he says, Son, come on. Let me take that off you. Try this one on. And he puts that on you. It's better. It's better. He says, My yoke is easy. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest on your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says, try this one. Just follow me. Just come close to me. You got that new yoke now. We'll throw this one out. Just let me lead you along. Let me help you through this trial. I want to be there for you. You just need to pray to me. Just need to stay close to me. Proverbs 8:17 says, I love them that love me, and they that seek me early shall find me. That's what God wants. He wants us to seek him in the time of trial. And Jehoshaphat there proclaimed a fast. He did something. He just didn't sit back and fear and come up with his own plans and do a Jacob and just kind of finagle his way around everything and say, well, if I can make an agreement with them and get this army in and I can appease the people here and we'll start storing up water. No. He just took that fear and turned right to God. He proclaimed a fast throughout all the land. Look at verse 4. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask the help of the Lord, even all of the cities of Judah that came to seek the Lord. So you don't realize, I already touched on it, what impact you have when you turn either for the worse or for the better. But people see something come up in your life, or they know it's been a discouraging time in your life, maybe some events have happened that are totally beyond your control, whatever it is, but they still see you faithful. That draws men onto you. That God is looking for leadership like that. Doesn't matter if you're 8 years old or well over 50. God's looking for people to be leaders. And here's Jehoshaphat. He's doing something, and the people are following him because he chose the right thing, and they had an example in him. So they need to... So first off, Jehoshaphat feared. He sought the Lord. Then he did something. He proclaimed a fast. He set an example by how he handled the situation. He wasn't going to hire an army. He was going to seek God. Here's an example of that back in 1 Samuel chapter 30. Well, let's take a step back here. First off, he encouraged himself in the Lord. He sought the Lord. Back in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, David came back and he was trying to fight the war, and the king said no. He comes back and he finds out that his city, Ziklag, was destroyed. It was burnt to the ground. His wife and all the men and the men's wives and their children were taken captive. The people spoke of stoning him. That's a low point. For all you know, everything you own is burnt to the ground. Your family's gone, probably dead. And all your so-called friends want to kill you. I really can't think of a much worse day than that. You know, maybe a broken femur or something besides that, but what else is it? He couldn't turn to his friends. They wanted to kill him. And 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, he says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Then his men followed him. What would have happened if he never encouraged himself in the Lord? He would have been dead. His so-called friends would have stoned him to death. But he encouraged himself in the Lord. I wonder what the people thought. Here's these people that are ready to pick up rocks. Now they see him praying and crying out to God. And they're talking. He says, you know, I think we're wrong about this whole thing. He led us before and he's seeking God. We need to seek God. And so David was that type of example. And Jehoshaphat was that type of example. You go through the scriptures. There's many, many, many other types of examples of what to do when faced with adversity. And we as parents have a tremendous responsibility in that way. How are you going to live your life? How do you live your life? Mothers and fathers, you kids need an example. You need an example to follow. Do you want your children to accomplish more than you do in the Christian life? Some of us that got saved later in life, we have things to deal with and character issues and baggage in the past. We have this junk in the past that maybe sometimes might inhibit us. Your kids don't. What do you want from them? You want to stand at the judgment seat of Christ one day and look over and see your kids over there and they're getting more rewards than you? I love that. But what are you doing about it? You can talk all you want to talk. But if you're not walking the walk, it's not going to fly. They need to see an example in you. They need to see an example in the way you live. Mother, you want your daughters? How do you want them to grow up? You want them to grow up to love the Lord and serve Him? Then search the Scriptures yourself. What kind of example are you being to your daughter? Are you being soft-spoken, a meek and quiet spirit? Are you dressing modestly? You know, if you're not dressing modestly, then don't complain when she's 13 and you have issues. If you're not soft-spoken, don't complain when she's a loud and boisterous 13-year-old and rebellious. Young men, fathers, what about you? How do you treat your wife? The Bible says we're to love our wives as their own flesh. There's no other religion, society, culture in the world that admonishes that. To love our wife as our own flesh, as Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? 100% selflessly. Expecting nothing in return. That's hard. You know why God pins us on that, guys? Because we're selfish. Guys are far more selfish than women are. Women have a maternal instinct, a loving, motherly instinct, and the guy will say, come on, suck it up, let's go. Right? Wash it off and put some duct tape on it, let's go. Not women. But we're selfish. And he gave us Christ as an example to love our wives as their own flesh so that they can be all they can be. And that's a hard thing. You know, get them some roses, write them a note, give them a card, not expecting anything in return. Just because you love them. Maybe you get something, who knows, but that's a side point. But do it out of love, selflessly. And that's hard for a man to do. But that's why God admonishes us to do that. What kind of example are we being to our sons? What kind of example are we doing with our walk with the Lord? You know, I love working with the teens. It's a blessing. But I hope that as these other kids come up in the teen class, that the first time they hand out a tract is not with me. I hope the first time they ever go out on the street to do something for Jesus Christ is not just with me. They've had a parent now for 13 years. What's happening here? You know what? Myself is helping with the teens and leading the youth group. I should be a kind of a last resort. It's your responsibility. You gave birth to them. They're your children. You're training them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's your responsibility. Don't come to us when you're having issues. Well, they just don't seem to have a real grasp of God. They just don't seem to love God like I like them to. And you have trouble showing up in church and the doors are open? Don't even go there. You are to be that example for them. If they want to look to some other people, great. You, mom and dad, are to be that example of a godly mother, godly father, an example that they can follow. We're kind of as a last resort here. That's why I do it. If I can be a help to your kids, and Brother Grissom and Pastor, praise the Lord for that, but not like, you know, Pastor says in the South, it's up to the preacher to lead the kids to the Lord. That's an abomination. It should never be that way. It should never be that way. So, parents, where are you at with that? Just asking you, what kind of example? David was an example to his people. Jehoshaphat here was an example to his people. What if he wasn't? What if he just sought the Lord himself and never tried to get the whole, all the people to go with him? Where would he be? It would have been totally different. Maybe the armies would have taken him over. But Jehoshaphat needed to do something, and he did something. He proclaimed a fast. So Jehoshaphat feared. He set himself to seek the Lord. He did something. The next thing is, let's read down a little further. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15 to 18. It says, and he said, hearken. Well, I'll give you a little background in here. From verse 5 on up to, let's see here. From 5 to 13, Jehoshaphat is addressing the people. And so he's pouring out his heart to God and about how great God is. And then verse 14, then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, you know who this guy is by now? A Levi of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, so after Jehoshaphat's praising God for all his goodness and calling out to God in his trial, then the Spirit of God came. And the Spirit of God came by this prophet. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah and the inhabitants in Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. So here comes that time where, again, back to that yoke, that old, nasty, rugged, splintered yoke is taken off, and Jesus Christ's yoke is put on. And he says, the battle's not yours, but God's. You know, I'm all for planning and everything else. But we can do all, when it comes to a point where you're going through something, and you've prayed, and you've sought God, and He's put on your heart, well, you know what? You really need to do this. You need to start reading some more. I haven't heard from you as much as I like to. And you do those things. There's nothing else you can do. The battle is God's. It's not your battle. It's God's battle. But on the other hand, we can't just sit back and say, well, I really messed up and God's yours. No. You need to seek God. He proclaimed the fast. And he sought God. And after he had sought God, and after he, I'm sure, cried out to God and said, Lord, what is it in the kingdom that's wrong? What am I doing as a king is wrong? What am I doing as a parent, as a teenager? Why can't I get along with my parent? Why can't I get along with my siblings? Why am I having trouble in school? Why am I having trouble at work? God, what is it? What am I doing wrong, Father, that these things are coming upon me? Why, Father? Will you please show me? Will you show me? There's a reason this trial came on for some reason. What am I supposed to learn from it, Father? What am I supposed to learn that you're trying to teach me? And you put some things on your heart. And you're trying to do those. After that, it's God's battle. All the amount of worrying, all the amount of fretting, it's not going to help. It's battle is not yours, the end of verse 15, but God's. And so they went out to, they fought the Lord. Well, let's just read it. It's a lot better in paraphrasing. Verse 16, tomorrow go ye up against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves and stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to ground, and all the Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord and worshiped the Lord. So here they get the deliverance. And right away, Jehoshaphat, again, is the example. He bowed his head and fell to the ground, and he realized that the Lord is with him. They will not need to fight. He bowed, and he worshiped God. He trusted the Lord in what? He trusted the Lord in the promises. Now, you can sit here this morning, and you can think about taking that yoke off, and you think about some different things, points brought up already, and it can all be in your head. And you say, yeah, I know the Lord will take care of me. I know I need to trust the Lord. I know His yoke is easy and His burden is light. I know that. I know all that. I've heard it for 20 years now. I hear it for 5 years now. Unless you put it in your heart, it does nothing. See, that's if there's anything that we're teaching the kids out of Revelation, and we're going through the Ephesus, the first church, and if there's anything that sometimes Bible believers have a trouble with, it's having it all up here. And we got so much up here that doesn't go down here. We lose our compassion. We lose our first love of salvation. We lose our first love of the magnificent of how God, Jesus Christ, did for us on that cross. And yet, we need to seek His face and realize what He did for us. Jehoshaphat, verse 18, bowed his head with his face to ground, and all inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord and worshipped Him. Realizing that it is not our battle, but the God's, as part of the victory and overcoming the fear. But do you believe it? Is it truly in your heart? The whole point here, and let's read on a little further. And the Levites, children of the, verse 19, Kohathites, and of the children of the Korahites, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice and high, verse 20. And they rose up early in the morning. They went forth in the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And we had consulted with the people. He appointed singers on the Lord that they should praise the beauty and of holiness. And they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. So here, amidst the prayer, they got out and they started praising God, and the victory came. The Lord will deliver you from your trial in the midst of praise. He's not going to deliver, most likely, when you're all gripe-gut about it and discouraged and down in the dumps and you're not seeking God. He might, out of sheer mercy. But in the midst of the praise is when the children of Israel were delivered. It wasn't before that. It wasn't when they hit their face hit the ground back in verse 18. They got out there, and amidst their trial, amidst this huge adversity, they put their faith in action, and they started praising God. You think of Paul and Silas in prison. Bars didn't come open until they started praising and singing hymns to God, right? In Acts 16:30 there. So how are we going to handle it? Are we going to praise the Lord amidst our trial? Jehoshaphat did. He bowed and he worshiped and he trusted God, and God delivered amidst that. All right, let's go on a little further. So here they're delivered from their enemies. But I'll get this back up. So why does God want us to rely on Him? It's because so He can get the glory. Chapter 20, verse 29. And then the fear of God was in all the kingdoms of those countries when he had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. The reason God wants us to seek Him, one of the reasons, is that and deliver us is so He can get the glory. If you could somehow get glory and figure it all out yourself, and I keep going back to Jacob, but he was always conniving, trying to figure things out. You know, truth be told, there's some of us who plan and do things and just that type of personality. We got to guard against that. Because we want to have everything planned out and all the ducks in a row and, you know, come up with a plan and work the plan and all that stuff. It doesn't work all the time. It's not going to work. God doesn't want us to do that. You can plan and you can pray and plan and pray and pray and plan and just rely on God. I think of the courier ships over there as an example of that. It's a good example of that. Beginning when they first come up with a new site to go to, like Romania next year, I know one of the guys, he'll fast for I think it's 5 to 7 days. For that campaign. And all through that time, they're planning, but they're praying. They're planning and they pray, and they plan and they pray, and pray and pray and pray and plan. And you can have the best laid plans laid out, but if God's not in it, it's not going to work. And it's a miracle those work. When you get people coming from a dozen different states, sometimes 2 or 3 different countries, coming together, different, maybe sometimes some slightly doctrinal different backgrounds, and they all work together, and the gospel gets out and hundreds of people get saved, trying to all the logistics of organizing that in a third world country. It's amazing. The reason it works is because God's in it. Because they not only planned it, but they realize that the ultimate success of it relies on God. And that's what we need to do in our lives is, you know, we can plan all you want, but it's up to God. We need to pray. And the reason He does that is so God will get the glory in the end. Okay, so this is all taking place, and Jehoshaphat has taken the right course. He feared. He set himself to seek the Lord. He did something about it. He realized that the battle was the Lord's. And he realized also, people around him realized the great deliverance. And all the people feared God, so God got the glory, and they realized that it was God who delivered them. Let's look at chapter 20, verse 33. It says, howbeit the high places were not taken away, for as yet the people had not prepared their hearts unto the God of their fathers. So here's Jehoshaphat. He makes all the right choices, and he's the right type of person. He is leading his people, and they're following him. But yet it says, the high places, when it's all said and done, when it's all over with, they've seen this great victory, and they said, the high places were not taken away, for as yet the people had not prepared themselves to seek the Lord. And we can be, you know, you can go to this church, and there's all kinds of good things going on. And there's a lot of people doing a lot of things, and visitation and mission trips, and just successes in young family, all sorts of things, all sorts of good things can happen. You guys get good preaching and teaching, and what you have to be careful of is that you're not just riding the wave. You're just not going along. See, all these people, they're going along with Jehoshaphat. They're following because it was the right thing to do. It was a good thing to do. They're seeing some victories. I'm going to stick with this. This looks good. This looks good. I'm glad we had Jehoshaphat for a king. This is good. And they're just going through their life. But they have not prepared their hearts to seek the Lord. See, again, it goes all the way full circle back to us as individuals, us personally, that we need to prepare our hearts to seek the Lord. And you can sit back and you can You know, look around and see the great things you've done. You can be a part of some of the things that are being done. But are you really preparing your heart to seek the Lord? Not relying on your husband or your wife, or your mother, father, or your friends, or anybody else. But are you preparing your heart to seek the Lord? You see, you can kind of go along with it for a while, and it's not going to be enough. And I wonder, if we look back over our Blessed Hope Baptist church history, or any church, the history of any church, that people have walked out the door for one final time, people who have said no to God and their lives aren't the same since then. I wonder if we could look at those people and say, I wonder, were they just kind of riding along with it the whole time? Almost a cultural experience? Or were they seeking their hearts? Or did they really set their heart to seek the Lord? I wonder. I would tend to say that in most cases, they never really sought their heart to seek the Lord. Oh, maybe they did. Maybe they did. And something real tragic came in. And they made some bad choices, whatever the case is. But it has to be up to us as individuals to make the Lord our God, to have that personal, close relationship. So when that fear comes upon us, whether it's handing somebody a tract or something in our future that looks ominous, we seek God in it. Not just because so-and-so did and so-and-so did and he did and that's what I heard preached last week, but because it's the right thing to do. Now, most of this morning is talking about, obviously, at the Christian and how to lead our lives. Well, I'll take a step here. Maybe there's somebody in here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you have that, not only that yoke upon you, that splintered and cutting in your neck, but you got shackles around your feet. You got leg irons, and your hands are shackled, and you're going to be dragged down to the pits of hell without Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He offers you the free gift of salvation. He's got the key. You get the shackles off. Get those leg irons off. It's up to you as an individual. You can't do it on your own. You don't have the key. You don't have anything. The devil has got you, and he wants to take you to hell with him. But it goes back to you as an individual. He did all he could do. He says, will you accept my son as your Savior? Will you make that decision? What really do you have in your life that is so important, that you love so much, that you're willing to burn it forever in hell for? It's really that much fun doing what you're doing? Really having a good time for 5 or 10 years here? It's really worth it? Something to think about, people. Lord Jesus Christ gave his life on that cross to pay for your sins. And it's a matter of just trusting him as your Lord and Savior. Let's bow and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the day you've given us here. Thank you for your word. I pray that you'd help us to live our lives as you'd have us to. Lord, there's times when we're going through trials and just discouragement, Lord. It is a discouraging time in many ways that we live in. And the yoke we have on us sometimes it's grievous. It's hard, splintery, at least scars. And Lord, we never turn to you quick enough. If it's a matter of pride or just stubbornness, whatever it is, I know I'm very guilty of this myself. I don't turn to you like I should, as quickly as I should. I don't rely on you. And you just have that yoke that's easy and the burden light. And Lord, you love us. It's hard to fathom how you do, sinners like us, but you love us, Father. And we're grateful for that. Lord, there's things in our own lives that you've dealt with us on this morning. I pray that people would come forward if they need to or make a decision in their seat, whatever it is. Lord, times are short. The days are evil. Help us to be the examples we need to be. Help us to follow you through discouragement or trials that you might get the glory, that people can look and say, God had to do that for them because they didn't do it on their own. We just pray that you'd meet with us here this morning as we close out. Thank you so much, Father, for saving our souls. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's turn to number 228. My faith has found a resting place. Put on my heart is trusting Him amidst the trial, being that example. There's something in your life that you need to get sorted out. God is willing to help you sort it out. His yoke is easy, His burden is light. But you as an individual have to make that choice. It's up to us as an individual to draw closer to God. Just for a couple minutes here. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and now He died for me. All right, let's continue in the last verse there. Heavenly Father, thank You again for the day You've given us. I do pray for Ms. Lori Haas in the back there. Lord, pray that You'd help her, whatever might be going on. I know she's had some of these issues in the past. And Lord, I just pray You give the doctors and medical people the wisdom to know what it might be and find some resolution to it. Pray You just help her. Pray You bless the rest of the day and help Pastor and his family get back here tomorrow. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.